passage is an interesting passage. Of course, the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony and tells about his salvation, and I hope that is your testimony today. You could actually stand up and tell folks how you trusted Christ as your Savior. And he's giving his testimony to the king, King Agrippa. And, of course, Festus is also there, and other leaders are there, and certainly quite an audience for him to talk to. And comes down to a familiar part of Scripture, and one that many people have, I'm sure, read and maybe used and maybe have talked to you about and before you got saved. I'm not sure. But he says, Paul gives his testimony, and we'll look at that in a minute, and then he goes on, and he talks to the king, and he asks the king, verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, and it's an amazing statement, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. And I've entitled the message this morning, An Almost Christian, because as far as we know, that's all that ever happened to Agrippa. He was just an almost Christian. Father, please bless the preaching today and speak to our hearts. Give us exactly what we need. And I especially pray if there's anyone here today who's not saved, that today, maybe they're almost a Christian, but today they'll leave here a Christian. And they will trust you as their Savior, and they'll be born again, and they'll be a Christian. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember, it was very interesting, the offertory that Debbie played, Pass It On. That goes back long, long ago and takes me back to my days as a teenager and my first time that I heard the gospel, actually. And I started going to the Wesleyan Church with some of my friends, and that was back, and I'm sure there are Wesleyan churches still that preach the gospel, but that's when, really, that was very important in the Wesleyan Church, and it was the very first time that I heard the gospel. And I remember going to a teen meeting, and they had a special speaker there, and I remember him talking about heaven and hell, and I sat there, and you know, I noticed, which is sad, but I noticed a lot of the kids goofing around, but I was amazed, because I didn't know there was a heaven, I didn't know there was a hell, and I didn't know a person could know for sure they were going to heaven. And I was pretty well, as he spoke, I was deciding, you know what, I probably ought to get this thing settled. I remember talking to someone after the service, don't remember who it was, but it was one of the leaders or maybe one of the speakers at that particular meeting, and I almost got saved. I remember he asked me, would you like to bow your head and trust Jesus as your Savior? And I almost did it. But could I just say this to you today? Had I died right after that, I would have gone straight to hell. But I almost got saved. I went to the Wesleyan camp somewhere around that time, and I'm going to say I was between 13 and 15 years old. I don't remember exactly, but I went to the camp, and the camp was in a big auditorium. I've used this illustration several times before of God's convicting power, but I remember there were several thousand young people at that camp, and it was a huge, huge auditorium at the campground there in Fairmount, Indiana, and they had a guest speaker come who had been involved in the mafia in Chicago, some sort of gang mafia kind of thing in Chicago, and again, this was back in the 70s. And this person was giving testimony and preaching about how that he had been involved in all this crime and all these things and how God had spoken to his heart and he had gotten saved. And he preached about trusting Christ as Savior. And as I've given my testimony before, he came down during the invitation and thousands of kids all through the auditorium. And I was sitting somewhere toward the middle of the whole auditorium. And that man walked down the aisle, walked down our pew, and came right to me as if I was the only person in that room. It was almost like there must have been an arrow above me pointing. And that guy came to me and he said, son, I know you need to trust Christ as your Savior. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I almost went with him to that altar that day and trusted Christ as my Savior. But could I just tell you this? Had I died right after that camp, I mean, it was a great camp, but had I died After that camp, I would have gone straight to hell. But I almost got saved. Almost a Christian. So close. I went to the Baptist church. And one of the first services there, I can remember, right after the teen meeting that they had, I can remember the youth director and a fellow that was working with the youth who eventually became a missionary to Africa. I remember them cornering me right afterwards. You know, just kind of casually they surrounded me. You know how they do, kind of like we do here. And there I was, and I was in a room, and all of a sudden no one else was there, just those two preachers and me. And boy, they started in. You know, if you died, would you go to heaven? If you die without Jesus, I mean, come on, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as Savior? And really, almost like what Paul was saying to King Agrippa. Come on, you know this is true. By the way, I did know. Are you listening to me? I really knew what they were saying was true by now. I've been to enough church services. I had experienced the Holy Spirit dealing with me with conviction. And they said, come on, you know this is true, don't you? And I'd say, yes, I do. You know Jesus loves you. Oh, I know he loves me. You know he died on the cross for you, don't you? Oh, I know he died on the cross. No doubt about that. You know if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell, don't you? And I said, I know I am. You know if Jesus comes, you're not ready, don't you? And I said, I know that. And they both, it was almost like they knew I was going to get saved. And they said, wouldn't you like to trust him as Savior? And I said something foolish like, well, I just can't. Or, no, I not right now. I'll do it later. Or, but you know what? That was real close. I almost got saved that day. And again, as with all the other times, had I died. I'm talking about I walked out of a Baptist church. I walked out, the church service took place, and as the invitation took place, the preacher, Brother Johnson, he preached, he gave an invitation. Before the invitation, he asked for a show of hands. My hand went up when he said, if you died, wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven? I raised my hand, I'd like to know for sure. But that invitation was given, and I stood there, and sweat poured down my body, and I shook, and I trembled, and my heart was like it was going to beat out of my chest. But I walked away from that service, almost a Christian. But had I died, I would have gone to hell for all eternity. I'm convinced today that there's folks here that are almost. You're an almost Christian. I'm convinced that there are people all over Adrian, all over this city, that are an almost Christian. I know from our youth explosion that we had, because I watched, I know there were many teenagers. They heard, they were convicted as Agrippa was here. They even would say, well, yeah, I believe what you're saying, because some raised their hand and said, pray for me, I want to be saved. But they walked out those doors and they went down those steps. And they went out that door almost. An almost Christian. I'm convinced that all over our country there are almost Christians. All over. It might be your dad. It might be your mom. It might be a grandma. It might be a grandpa. It might be a son. It might be a daughter. Where they say, almost. I almost got saved. But to be almost saved is to be lost. To be almost saved is to go to hell. And I'm convinced that in this room right now, you're almost there. You're in church. You say, I feel pretty good about myself. I came to church. Yeah, but, you know, you're not going to feel too good about just being almost. Almost, so close. Almost, almost a Christian. People every week will knock on a door. Folks going door to door. Now we're in the, many are in the city of Morenci, and I'll hear, Dale will say, boy, that guy, he was so close. Boy, that lady, she was so close. Our teens will go soul winning, and others will go soul winning, and we'll talk to folks, and boy, they were so close, and they almost got saved. Now, you know, I just wonder, does that make us feel good? It shouldn't, because almost is still lost. And they come to our church service convicted, and the invitation takes place, and they almost get saved. Boy, you can see them, you can watch them, You know, people that have been in church long enough, you watch people and they fidget and they fuss and they sweat and they're nervous and they're, you know, and boy, you know, and you think, boy, they're so close, they're so close. And maybe you look over and say, wouldn't you, I'll go with you if you'd like to go get saved. And that's the way it should be in church, by the way. That's the way it used to be years ago. What is our problem? You know, it's not politically correct. We should be concerned about lost people. And so, you know, and they'll say, well, you know, I know I need to. Okay, why don't you? I know I should, but why don't you? I know I'm going to go to hell if I don't get saved. Yeah, then why don't you get saved? But I just can't. And you know, they almost did it. Almost. You've talked to a loved one and they almost got saved. You talk to that person at work and they almost got saved. But the truth of the matter is, an almost Christian is someone going to hell. And we cannot rest, we can't relax over the word almost, because almost is lost. I was thinking about the invitation song, Almost Persuaded, and maybe we'll use that for the invitation today. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. I don't know how many invitations where a choir was singing that song, where the congregation was singing that song, where I had a songbook and I was singing that song. And I walked out almost saved, but lost. And had I died, I would have gone straight to hell. I would say everybody in this room can understand exactly what I'm talking about, because you were, at one time or another, almost a Christian. And maybe that would be your testimony even here today. I have four things I want to give you about this, and I will be quick, but I want you to listen carefully. Number one is the definition of almost. The definition of almost, it's to come short of. It's to come short of. I'm almost 53, but I'm not 53. Until April 18th at 7:30 p.m., I'll just be almost 53. Boy, this is going to hurt some of you. You'll probably want to be at the altar soon, but the Colts almost won. Does it really thrill your soul that they almost won? I was thinking about that, and yes, we almost won. Very rarely do I see anybody rejoicing over almost winning. It's just not, you know, seriously, some people get after Michigan and Michigan State for those games weren't even close. But to be honest with you, does it really matter? If it had been 1 point or 40 points, does it really matter? I mean, you still lose, right? And you know, every now and then, and my wife is like this. She says, well, your team was close. I don't care. If my team loses, I don't care how close it was. But honestly, we understand all of that when it comes to our sports teams. We understand that when we're playing a game. We understand that with a lot of things. Fisherman understands, you know, hey, boy, you know, he's telling me, I almost caught Moby Dick. Yeah. It was, you know, in the years... As the years go, it gets bigger. But it was that big, and everybody just walks it. Nobody cares till you've got it mounted on your wall or you have a picture of you holding it. You know, we don't really care. And you know nobody cares when you're telling me, oh, it was huge. Oh, it was gigantic. It almost pulled me in. Yeah. Almost caught it. By the way, tell those guys in jail. Tell them, hey, you know what? Boy, isn't it refreshing? You almost got away with it. be honest with you, I don't know anybody that just gets that excited. You're trying to buy something and you almost have enough money. That makes you feel good, doesn't it? When you almost have enough money, right? Yeah. How about this? The boss says, I almost gave you a raise. Oh, that thrills your soul. It'll change your life. I'm telling you, the almost is to come short of. I almost, and you can put just about anything. Now, I know you can look at it in a positive way, but the way we're looking at it is it's a negative way. The definition of almost, to say he almost lived is to say what? He died. You know, how, oh, wow, this is great. He almost made it. To be almost awake is to be what some of you are right now, asleep. To be almost in is to be what? Yeah. I almost had a place to sleep last night. And so you're on the streets. Great. Almost did nothing for you at all. Absolutely nothing. Almost. I was almost a winner. Then until you are that, you are a... yeah. And that's not very fun, is it? This word, honestly, and when I every time I read this, this is such a sad word. It's such a sad word, especially in the context of King Agrippa. Yeah, but he's a king. Boy, isn't that great? I mean, this is a king that almost got saved. Isn't that wonderful? I don't see Paul rejoicing. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I would to God. And by the way, when he says, I would to God, he's very serious about this. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. He said, I wish all of you would get saved like I've gotten saved. Paul said that in verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I did what God showed me to do. I got saved when God showed me I needed to get saved. I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. And I obeyed what God said to do. To say, boy, you've almost persuaded me is to say, I'm not going to obey what God says. I'm going to do it my way. It's kind of a sad word. It's kind of a deceptive word because it gives emphasis to what almost is instead of what is. Agrippa says to Paul, almost thou persuadest me. And maybe all the Baptists in the room got together and said, Paul, you are a great, great soul winner because that's a king. You almost persuaded a king, Paul. You know, soul winners go, and a couple of guys, they're knocking on doors, and somebody, you know, they're right there, and you say to them, wouldn't you like to trust Christ? Boy, you know, I'd like to, but I just can't right now. And they walk away, and they go, woohoo! Ha-ha! Man, that's great soul winning. He almost got saved. Truth is, we don't do that, do we? It didn't like that. It's not like that with the Apostle Paul, because almost means he didn't. Almost means, Agrippa, you're lost. Almost, the king says, you know, I'm almost convinced, and we're supposed to rejoice. I got news for you. Your loved one that's almost convinced, that shouldn't give you a whole lot of rest. You say, yeah, but they're close. Yeah, but they're lost. They almost got saved. Don't rest. Don't quit praying. Don't quit telling them. Don't quit giving them little tracts. Because almost is lost. The definition of almost. Number two, I want you to see the description of a Christian. Again, he said, I almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. I'm talking about an almost Christian. The definition of almost is to come short. The description of a Christian. If we're talking about an almost Christian, we need to know what a Christian is. It's kind of like the little boy right after Sunday school. He was talking to his dad, and his dad happened to be a deacon in the church. And he said, the little boy says, you know, he said our Sunday school teacher told us today about how a Christian should act. And he looked at his dad, and he said, do we know any? Anyway, the description of a Christian. What is a Christian? Well, first of all, it's one who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's a Christian. A Christian is one who's born again. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. By the way, for someone to say, well, I was almost born. Hello? You're not then. Well, how can you become a Christian almost? You can't. Because Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. You have to, it has to take place. It has to be a time in your life where you call upon Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and save you. And it's a once in a lifetime experience, just like your birth is a once in a lifetime. To say, I'm almost, is to say you're not. It's one who has received Christ as their Savior. What is a Christian? What's the description of a Christian? Well, it's one who is a child of God. A child of God. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1, 12. It says, but as many as received Him. What'd they do? They received Him. What'd they do? They called on Jesus. They received Him. They said, Jesus, I'm lost, and if I don't get saved, I'm going to go to hell for eternity. Jesus, I know You died on the cross for me. You paid the price for my sin. I'm asking You, I'm begging You, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It's one who is a child of God. Oh, how many times does it happen? A little orphan hears that he's going to be adopted. And he gets all excited about, I'm going to be adopted. I was almost adopted. And they certainly don't get any comfort out of being almost a child of somebody. Let me tell you, there's no comfort for you today if you almost got saved. There's no comfort. He's not your father. Are you listening? Ye are of your father, the devil, the Bible says in John chapter 8. He's not your father. God is not your father if you're just almost a Christian. Description of a Christian, one who's received Christ, one who is a child of God, one who has everlasting life. John 5, look at it. John 5, verse 24. Everlasting life. John chapter 5 and verse 24. We already said, if you almost have life, then you have death. But notice with everlasting life, it is the same. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I'm almost there. But until you are there, the Bible says, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And until you are there, until you've done that, you don't have everlasting life, and you will come into condemnation. It will take place. Not life is death. Almost. The description of a Christian, one who's received Christ as their Savior, one who's a child of God, one who has everlasting life, one who is like Christ. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are like Christ. To be almost like him is to be not like him. You can do all kinds of good things and look good and look the part. And I guarantee there's folks, this is a good enough sized crowd. There's people in here. You've gone to church all your life. You look the part. You act the part and all those things. But you're not the part because you're almost. You're almost. What's the description of a Christian? Well, it's also one who has a mansion and an inheritance. John 14 tells us that. It's one who's going to heaven. It's one who has a mansion, one who has an inheritance, one who has blessings in eternity. To be almost that is to almost have a mansion, but to almost have a mansion does you no good. To almost have an inheritance, that doesn't do you any good either. I've never heard anybody rejoicing over almost getting a mansion. Yeah, they were going to give me their mansion, but then... Boy, they came so close. They were ready to sign the papers, and I didn't get it. And we're going to go celebrate. Yeah, you know, Aunt Clarabelle died and she left an inheritance and you know what? She almost left me $1 million. Yep, instead I got a book. Almost. See, almost a Christian is to fall short of being a Christian. You could be so excited about almost, or you could say, wow, it's to come short. By the way, that's why the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we come short. We come short. We've seen the definition of almost. We've seen the description of a Christian. Now, number three, look at the difference between almost and a Christian and being a Christian. Almost. Well, almost. To be born in a Christian country. Of course, we've been told recently this past year that we're not a Christian country, but to be born where there's churches everywhere. To be born where you can hear the gospel. To be born where most of you have heard the gospel. I mean, we're a country where the gospel is still being heard. We have TV stations that often proclaim the gospel. Yeah. I mean, America's going downhill, but it's not there yet. We're in a great country. We're in the greatest country in all the world. And there are Christians in our country, and many of them are vocal about how to be saved. I'd say there's a whole bunch of people that are almost saved. I'd say there's a lot of people because they were born in this country. How about this? Almost to be born in a Christian family. You know, Dad's saved and Mom's saved and Poindexter is saved and all the family. You know, everybody. And there you are, and you grew up in that Christian family, and that family, maybe they had devotions. Maybe in that home they prayed before they ate and they thanked God for His blessings in their lives and all these kind of things took place. Maybe Dad's a deacon. Maybe Dad's a preacher. Maybe your mom's a Sunday school teacher. I don't know what it is. But in that family, there you grew up and you say, you know what? I've heard all that stuff and I'm almost convinced. But if you're almost, there's a huge difference between being almost and being actually saved. The difference between almost and a Christian, almost, is to be born in a Christian country, born in a Christian family. It's to join a church where there's Christians. I mean, to be honest with you, you join this church, you're probably almost a Christian. Now, you're supposed to be a Christian to join. You get asked that question, but you say, well, you know, I didn't want to go through that phase of it. I think about all the folks that are members of churches that are lost. I often think of the lady, my wife was out soul winning down in Shreveport, Louisiana, and she was out soul winning and knocked on the door, and a lady came, and she was upset that anybody would bother her at that time, but my wife just introduced herself and where she was from and said to the lady, and as soon as she said church, the lady said, I go to church. I go to the Methodist church down here. And my wife said, well, that is wonderful. She said, but if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And the lady got upset. I mean, it was like she just couldn't believe. She said, listen to me. I've taught Sunday school for 30 years now. Why would you ask me that question? My wife said, well, I didn't know you taught Sunday school, but if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And the lady said, you have no right to ask that question. Now, listen to me. If you're saved and you know it, clap your hands, stomp your feet, shout out loud, tell the world. But you know the problem? The lady didn't know it. You know why? Because she was a member of a church, and a church that had preached the gospel before. If she'd been in it for 30 years teaching Sunday school, somewhere along the line, it would have had to slap her upside the head a couple times. And you could be in a Baptist church today, and you might be a member here, and on your way to hell, almost, almost. I promise you, when the flames of hell are burning you, when the wailing, the weeping, and your teeth are gnashing, I promise you, being almost is only going to torment you. You could do Christian things. Do you know during that process of time that God was starting to speak to my heart, do you know that I sang in the Wesleyan Church teen choir? I remember it very well. I sang with that choir. I sang Pass It On, Lost. I remember the choir one time. We all had little candles, and we went through the whole auditorium, and we were in different places, and they took the candles, and while we were singing that song, Pass It On, we lit a candle and passed the flame on all the way through the auditorium, and somebody lit my candle, and I went and lit somebody else's. Pass It On, the song says. Pass it on, pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. But you know what? It wasn't in my heart, and I knew it. Preacher, you actually went through all the, you did things for God? Oh yeah, I was really a servant. Lost. Yeah. You might be married in a Christian way. You might even be buried in a Christian way. How many funerals do they say what a good person the person was? You've been to them. Luke 16, the rich man, I can almost guarantee you at his funeral, the reverend got up and he said, oh, what a good man this man was. He did all the good things. He did all the right things. Maybe he said some cute little thing that he read out of a book. And boy, you know, literally he was a good man. But the Bible says in hell about the rich man, in hell. Hey, would you all like to look in hell right now and you'll see where that man is? In hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment. In hell is where he was. Why? Well, he was almost. You might be like Christians. You know, you might be just like other Christians. You might be a better person than other Christians. But almost, you're not. You think Christians are better. No, I think Christians are forgiven. That's all. I know some unsaved people that are a lot nicer than some Christian people I know. I know some unsaved people that are more ethical than some Christian people I know. But the truth of the matter is, forgiven blood of Jesus is the difference between almost and being a Christian. You might be very much convicted every time the invitation's given. I sat pretty much on the third row my lost years of going to the Baptist church. Pretty much every invitation. I thought, I wish he would do without this. And he always did that, always. Even in the Wesleyan church, I remember the invitations, and I remember thinking, if we could do without this part of this, everything would be okay. But it was always the question. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand. And I could not raise my hand because I knew I was lost. I often thought if I could just lie my way through it, I'd get away with this thing. If I could just lie, but I wasn't going to raise my hand. I remember one time at the Wesleyan Church, they had the Lord's Supper. And the preacher said, if you're not saved, you shouldn't observe this. And by myself, there were teenagers all over the place that were just like me. But boy, they took it. But all alone, I sat. Some kind of a teen thing that they had. And I sat right over there all by myself. And you talk about putting a big target on me. And that preacher would give the invitation. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand, whether you're saved or not, listen, wouldn't you like to get saved? And I'm sitting there, and I remember sitting there thinking, oh, I really want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be in flames. I don't want to be left behind if Jesus comes. I really want to. He'd say, if you want to get saved and you want me to pray for you, raise your hand. And I remember holding my hand back so many times. I remember grabbing the back of the pew and holding on so tight. I'm sure my nail prints are in that pew even to this day. And I'd raise my hand. I think, man, you're stupid. What are you doing? But I knew I was lost. I was convicted that I was lost. My heart was about to jump out of my chest. I remember it so clearly. I was convicted about it. Agrippa said, yes. He says, almost, thou persuadest me. I'm convicted about it. I know what you're saying is right, and I know I'm going to hell. But I'm just almost a Christian. The truth is, a Christian is a Christian. They're not almost. There's no one here going to heaven that's almost a Christian. Do you hear what I'm saying? No one. Yeah, but I'm a Baptist. Doesn't matter. Yeah, but I got baptized. Doesn't matter. If you're almost a Christian, you're not going to go to heaven. If you're almost a Christian, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. If you're almost a Christian, you are only deceiving yourself into feeling good about almost, because almost isn't enough. And if you, as a Christian person here today, if you have loved ones and co-workers and neighbors and people you talk to, do not rest in the fact that they almost got saved the last time you talked to them. Because almost saved is lost. Almost received Christ as my Savior is to be lost. I'm almost a child of God is to be a child of the devil. I almost have everlasting life is to have everlasting death. I'm almost like Christ. Then you're not like Christ and you're lost. I almost got a mansion in heaven is to have a burning place in hell. Almost Christianity. Almost a Christian. How sad. By the way, it's just as sad what I call almost Christianity. It's people that are almost being a good Christian. You know, it's so true. After you get saved, how sad. You know, I almost got baptized is to disobey God. Because you didn't get baptized. Well, I almost tithe is to rob God. Amen. You know, the person that says, well, I almost married the right one is to marry the wrong one. I almost surrendered my life is to say, God, you can't have my life. And that's why almost there's a huge difference. And that is in our room here today. The last point, number four. The danger of almost is to come up short. It's to come up short. It's like I said, if you lose by 40 points, you lose by 1 point, you lost. Amen. Amen. And you say, well, I'm not like everybody else. You know, preacher, you want me to get saved, but I'm not like murderers, and I'm not like people that are doing wicked things, and I'm not that bad of a person, and it does not matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you're still short until you get saved. So many are content with almost. Oh, it may be a step closer, but it's still short. But I'm better than so-and-so. But it's still short. Do you really think that in hell it's going to be comforting that you are better than so-and-so when you're burning in the same fire? I promise you it won't be comforting. It won't be good. It's like this. King Agrippa, chapter 26 and verse 1, look at him. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Here, King Agrippa was willing to listen. He was willing to listen. You're here. You're in church today. You're willing to listen. You may be come every Sunday. You maybe have come for years. You're willing to listen, like King Agrippa. Hey, you know, Paul, you're permitted to speak. Paul, I'll listen to you. I want to hear what you have to say. Verse 26, the king knoweth of these things. Paul says, King, you know about these things before whom also I speak freely. You know about Jesus. He said, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a court. He said, you've watched, you know about Jesus. You know what he did. You know his miracles. You know how he died. You know all about Jesus. Yeah, and you're here today and you know too. You've not gotten saved, but you know. You know what Jesus did. You know he died on the cross. We just celebrated Christmas. You know he was born of a virgin. You know he's God. You know why he came? Emmanuel, God with us. You've been to church. You've heard it. You grew up with it. You colored the pictures in 2 and 3 year olds, 4 and 5 year olds. You went through 1st through 3rd grade and 4th through 6th grade. And you know what it's all about. You know. You know. Yeah. You know, verse 23, that Christ should suffer. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. You know that. King Agrippa, you know these things. You're not stupid, King Agrippa. King Agrippa, you know what's going on. Hey, folks, you've got your eyes open. You know what's going on in our world today. You know what's happening. You know that man isn't in control of all of this. You know there's a God in heaven. You know all these things are happening. In verse 27, Paul says this, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. King Agrippa, I know you believe what those preachers have said. I know that. I know you believe the word of God. You say, see, preacher, I'm not so bad. You know that about me too. I believe these things too. And my Bible says in the book of James that the devils, they believe and tremble. Believing's not enough. It's to be almost. Agrippa, all these things are true. He was willing to listen. He knew it. He believed it. He was just one step short. And do you understand that one step short is no different than an atheist who denies it all? Come on now, stay with me. I'm just about done. You're here today and you say, yeah, but I'm not so bad. I'm not telling you're so bad. God says, well, you know already you're a sinner. You know already that your sin has to be paid for. You know already that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. You know all that. You came to church. You believe that. You know there's something there. You know there's a God. But the truth of the matter is, there are people all over this world who say, there's no God. And I'm not interested in God. In fact, I want to worship the devil. But I'm just telling you this, okay? To not trust Christ as your Savior, to not get saved today, is to be just like them. You say, yeah, but I'm almost. But to be almost is to be lost. One step short is no different than an atheist. And that's why Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. Except these bonds. Altogether. How many, I wonder, in hell right now, as the Bible describes hell in Luke 16, they're begging for one drop of water, perhaps, because they're tormented. And what the Bible says is a flame. I wonder how many were almost Christians in hell. Almost persuaded. I remember the invitation. I remember the church service. I remember how the preacher preached and how he literally begged for us to come and be saved. Almost persuaded. Almost, but lost. Years ago, a family lived out in the wilderness. And the father, as he often did, went out for an all-day hunt. And while he was out hunting for the food and provision for the family, a severe blizzard hit, and as the day grew longer, it got worse and worse, and the snow was piling up, and the children and the wife were concerned, and they kept looking out the window, looking for the man to return. Night came, and there was still no sign. They left candles in the windows so that he could see his way through the storm, and it was a long night, and the wind blew, and the snow fell, and in the morning, the storm ended. They looked out the windows and couldn't see him and wondered what had happened. Finally, they opened the door. And just outside the door, just a few feet from the door, the husband, the father, had fallen dead in the middle of the night. The mother said, he almost made it. And one of the children with tears said, that's not enough, Mommy. That's not enough to almost make it. It's not enough. It's just not enough. Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. I wonder how many here would say, preacher, I am saved. I know for sure if I die that I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. I know I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand as a testimony of that all over the room? I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. I know it. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I will not embarrass you. I will not come after you. But I would like to pray for you. And there were many that could not raise their hands. I'm actually amazed how many could not raise their hands. Thank you so much for being honest. And that's a good step. But it's still not enough. You need to be saved. How many would be honest today and say, "Preacher, I am not saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm the only one looking. Raise your hand right now. Pray for me. I am not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved." Come on, be honest. Be honest. Raise your hand right now. "Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not sure." You couldn't raise your hand a while ago, but you want to raise your hand now. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else should say, "Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. Pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come and get you. I just want to pray for you." Be honest. Be honest. You say, "I'm almost there." All right. Then you say, "Pray for me, preacher." Someone else, please pray for me. Come on, right now. Right now. Pray for me. Pray for me. Doesn't matter if you've been, say, you've been a member of this church, you've been here for a year. Listen to me. Get it settled today. You say, "I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Pray for me." Anyone else? Pray for me. God bless you. Thank you. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone else? Pray for me. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know some almost Christians. I've witnessed to them. I've talked to them. There's somebody on my heart right now that almost got saved. And God's speaking to my heart about them. Please pray for me." All over, raise your hand. 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 Father, bless the invitation, please. I pray that no one would leave here almost anything. But God, we would do exactly what you want us to do in our lives, completely, all the way. I pray that Christians would obey. I pray that lost people would get saved. And that, God, that we'll do everything, not almost, but completely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand, please. 275, "Almost Persuaded," as we sing. God speak into your heart. 275. If you need to come, you come right now. Come on. God speak into your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Almost Persuaded. The instruments continue to play. If you are not sure you're saved, please come today. Let us take a Bible. Let us show you how to be saved. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. People aren't looking around. Nobody's going to come and get you. But you do not know whether you're going to heaven. You're just like I was. You're sitting there. You came to church. You feel pretty good about that. You know, I went to Sunday school. Right? You feel pretty good about that. Maybe you've gone for years. Listen to me. Do not mess with eternity. Get saved today. You're sitting there, your heart's about to jump out of your chest. Get saved today. The sweat is pouring down your body. Get saved today. Get it settled today. I think about Jesus. They beat him. They whipped him. They hung him on a cross. And let's just say he calls the 10,000 angels of the song. He says, "Take me down off this cross. I almost paid the price." And we would all be lost. We'd all go to hell. But Jesus, from that very cross, said, "It is finished. It is finished." You stand here today convicted. You know it's true. You believe it's true. No doubt about it. You want to be saved, but why don't you get saved? Why don't you do it today? Don't be almost persuaded. Make the decision today. Amen. Look up this way, please. We will have, I believe, ensemble practice at 4:30, 5 o'clock is choir, all the choirs. as well as our men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time, and our teens meet at 5 o'clock. And so we encourage you to be back for that. 6 o'clock, the evening service. And so don't forget that and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Brother Barry, would you close in prayer for us, please?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for that gift of salvation. Thank you for what you did in my own life, Lord. And I thank you for what you've done in each individual life here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those that are not saved, that you will work in their hearts this afternoon, Lord, and convict them and not let them get a moment's rest until they make that right, Lord. Pray, bring us back tonight. Be with Pastor, give him your power as he prepares for tonight. We ask these things.